Welcome to this month's Pulse. I'm Elizabeth Tracy.
Hi, I'm Paul Rothman, Dean and CEO of Johns Hopkins Medicine.
Today we're talking about something that's near and dear to my heart, and I think to yours also, and that's the joy in medicine, something that you undertook here at Johns Hopkins and just got a report about.
Joy in medicine is easy to talk about. The problem is more the problem with clinician burnout. It's something that I've noticed over the years, so it's not a really new problem. But the trajectory of the problem has taken a new slope to the curve, as we say, and it's increasing at a rate much higher than it used to for a variety of reasons. So the real problem is clinician burnout. That is, physicians and nurses and other practitioners who are dealing with a lot of problems and a very difficult environment, ever increasingly complex and sick patients in an environment where the workloads are ever increasing. The time to spend with them is less, and the stresses are more. And so the question is, how do you help people who are finding it so stressful to take care of patients and help them rediscover the joy in medicine?
We just got a big report relative to this. What was in that report?
Almost a year ago now, we decided that we had to think through how to support our clinicians. And so we asked physicians and nurses and frontline practitioners to think through what we could do to bring back the joy in medicine among people within Johns Hopkins Medicine. And the report came out with, I think, a series of really concrete and very thoughtful approaches to try to deal with the issue. I really classify them under two headings, one of which is how to make work life a little easier. And the other major heading is how to help people with a more supportive environment. I think under making the workplace a little easier, there's a variety of recommendations ranging from trying to make the electronic medical record a little bit easier for them, to help with clinical workflows, to administrative burdens that we put on them that maybe we can relook at and take away from them, a variety of other sort of system problems. And then the other thing is how to make life easier for them, and that had to do with trying to work on wellness, trying to really ensure that there's a supportive environment for all our practitioners. So those are the two classes of things that we're starting to work on.
If you had to reflect on how you've watched medicine morph over the years that you've been in medicine, and you put your finger on a single factor relative to this issue of burnout, what would you say?
I'll give you two, because they're related. So joy in medicine occurs because we go into this field loving to take care of patients. And the truth is, the more time that you're interacting with patients and doing things that are directly impacting them, that brings you joy. Anything that takes away from that lessens the joy. And so there's a variety of things in terms of documentation. Everyone blames the electronic medical record, but if you think back out of it, actually predates that a little bit. All the administrative things, calling insurance companies to get okays for x-rays or radiologic exams, dealing with anything that isn't directly helping a patient, really takes away from why you went into the field. So it's that combination of this increasing burden of tasks that you have to undertake to help the patient. They're helping the patient, but not directly, versus the amount of direct time that you're talking to patients and helping them. I think that's really the thing that I've seen over my over 30 years in medicine.
Thank you for sharing that part of it.
Getting close to 40, so.
An illustrious career. What about the electronic record? I'm sure we agree that that's not going anywhere. And moreover, I've heard a lot of clinicians say what a powerful tool it is. They actually welcome certain aspects of it. How are we going to reduce that administrative burden while preserving all those many benefits?
And actually, that's the solution. It is how you make it easier. There is already tremendous benefit to it. It really will help us diagnose better. It'll help us get unneeded variation out of care. Right now, it's helping us provide safer care. It is terrific. It's going to be better. But we're in a stage of fulfilling new technology, which is just too immature. I don't know, I can date myself, but I don't know if you remember the first Macintosh computer. The first Macintosh computer, it had two drives in it, because your system was on one floppy, and you had to put your system in on a floppy, and then you could put your program in on another floppy and run a program. We're not quite at that point in the electronic medical record, but think through what we now do with a computer which is on our little phone, probably 100 times or 1,000 times more powerful than an initial Mac. In the EMR, we're at a point where it's still new and it still is very inefficient. We will evolve it over time, to a point where it just becomes a lot easier. And I think a lot of that's technology. And as you know, technology moves pretty fast, so I'm hoping that the technology that will make the electronic medical record more useful and less burdensome will develop quickly.
I just saw some data that I thought was really interesting. It showed that the majority of medical students in most medical schools across the country are women, just slightly more than the majority. And you identified something really important, this idea of work-life balance. And I would add to that, gosh, childbearing, which is a part of that for women. Just if you would say a word, expand just a little bit more on the initiatives that are underway to help to make that a little more manageable, because medicine is, after all, a very demanding career.
You know, my wife is a physician, so we've dealt with this for a long time. This idea of work-life balance, I would argue that newer generations, that work-life balance has less of a gender component than it once did. I helped raise my kids a little bit, much more so than the generation before, but probably less so than generations in the future. So I think that work-life balance has a gender component, because clearly women can give birth and men can't. But in general, this idea of work-life balance is much less of a gender issue than it once was. People growing up today are going to want both men and women to spend more time with family and raising family than they once did.
So you would say then that the initiatives that are underway to preserve the work-life balance are going to benefit equally both?
I think so. You know, we do some things because, as I said, women bear children, so there's some unique things you want to do there, but in general I think what we're trying to do is for both men and women.
So we'll reveal, of course, that we're about to launch our Joy in Medicine podcast series, where we're taking a look at all the amazing things that are taking place institutionally that are helping people turn that lens toward what do they get joyfully out of this place and of the practice of medicine. That was your idea. I thank you for that.
No, I think it's great, and I think it'll be impactful.
Thank you so very much. That's this month's Pulse.
Thanks, Elizabeth.